I guess a bit of introduction about the Sefer. It's a lot more is not known about the Mor Nevuchim than is known about the Mor Nevuchim. A lot of hype has been built up about it. Let's talk about a few things. It's the last Sefer that the Rambam wrote that we have. He wrote it in his later years, and whatever it is, it's to read it as something where it's a repudiation of the Yad HaZakah is impossible. Yad HaZakah is his magnum opus. It took him 10 years. It's Kol HaTorah Kula. It's not, there's no charat in it. It's an additional nekuda and so on. It was written in Arabic, which means that it's not always easy to be medayik exactly. The translations are Ibn Tibbin, which he himself went over the translation, and he wrote translation as much as he gave him words that he felt were the appropriate translation. The problem with Ibn Tibbin's translation is he translates the Arabic into Hebrew, but retains the sentence structure. Being that Arabic sentence structure is very different and complicated, it makes for not easy reading. So Ibn Tibbin is the most traditional translation, but it is also very difficult for a modern person to read it and get into it. There have been other translations, a few other translations. Two that come to mind the most is Kapach, who was a Taimani Rav, a Chashva Rav, and he translated a few Sfarim from Arabic. He claimed to have done an excellent job. It was put out by Moshe Rav Kook. I don't know. You know, it's something that I have no position to judge the Arabic. Just in terms of the flavor of the Sefer, it's kind of a very, what's the right word for it? It has a very dry and modern flavor. I don't know. It's something that just doesn't take me. The translation that I enjoy most is something called Ibn Shmuel, also put out by Moshe Rav Kook. Ibn Shmuel was a Yid named Kaufman. He passed away in the 70s. He learned in yeshivas when he was young, went off. He was a maskil, languages, scholarly person, lost a child in 48. I think that he was a frum yid, or I think he went back to Shrashim and was a frum yid. Modern person, but his translation seems to me the most pleasant. And he put it out in two versions. There is a full translation of his, and that's, I recommended it. And then there is a translation with Ha'aris of his, a Pirush of his, Ha'aris on the bottom. A very nice flows, very nice Pirush. I think it is the Zachin of all of the translations, the one that appeals to me, that appeals. There have been other ones, more contemporary ones that have been made and so on. I'm not going to go through all of it. I want to speak next. The Sefer is extremely unusual for the Rambam. And it's unusual because the Rambam is a very, very structured the Rambam is extremely structured in his Sfarim, in his presentation. The Rambam lays out his Yad HaZakah. It's a masterpiece of order, structure, presentation. The Mor Nevuchim is the exact opposite. He talks about a few prakim, goes off to a different topic, wanders off to a side point, and the Rambam writes in his introduction that he's going to do that, purposely so, because he doesn't want people who don't really understand it to think they understood it. And, you know, just to have people just quote it, like, you know, they thought. So the Rambam mixed it up. That's what he writes, he's going to do, and he's true to his word. It's an extremely, extremely unstructured Sefer. And again, there are clusters of prakim that he deals with a specific topic and then goes off. Next point that I'd like to make about it is the Rambam's relationship to Aristotle. And I want to try to put it in the right understanding. Aristotle was the philosopher. Aristotle was the Chacham. And I think there are two areas, especially why Aristotle was so miscabel, and by everybody, everyone, if the Arcade refers to him as Hachacham, most Rishonim, when they refer to Hachacham, it's usually Aristotle. First of all, Aristotle's works were comprehensive in the sense they started from Adam's and ended up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, the distinction that we have today between sciences, philosophy, and biology and physics and chemistry, they didn't exist in those days, and therefore Aristotle's books were on everything from logic to the physical world, with a big emphasis on biology, to metaphysics, which was beyond the physical world, to ethics, to poetry, etc. Aristotle himself, it's assumed, or there's records that he wrote, and he wrote beautifully. We don't have that. What we have, the material that we have that's in that corpus of Aristotle's works, seem to be like notes that students wrote. They're dry, kind of matter-of-fact statements, not at all appealing. The his contemporaries wrote, or later wrote, that his language was magnificent and golden. What we have is anything but that. The language we have is kind of dry, monotonous, almost like you know, just the bottom lines, kind of. And it's assumed to be notes of students, edited, etc. But for better or for worse, that's what we have. So he, gave a comprehensive view about the everything. That is one nekuda. So when you want to, and in those days, the difference between mathematics and biology and philosophy didn't really exist. If circles are perfect entities, we should find that in math, we should find that in biology, we should find that in theology. It doesn't make a difference. That was Aristotle's. So one thing they liked about Aristotle was he dealt about everything. The second thing about Aristotle that I think appealed extremely much was that he's a very, someone described him as a common sense writer. In other words, you pick up Plato at Plato's Republic. So he says chidushim, and some of it you say is brilliant, some of it you say is off, but even the things that are brilliant, it's lehavdol Aleph Alpha Avdolus. It's like when a person learns a Mishnah Brura, he says, this is Pshat. Then you have brilliant Chidushim from all sorts of Harifim, and you say, okay, this is a Goynish Akash, a Prima Godim. You look at Prima Godim and say, Goynish Chidushim, but you don't say, you must start with the Prima Godim. You don't see the Prima Godim as a starting point. You don't see it as being kind of, even though mitzat harifus, it's beyond. But it's not the pshuto shel mikra. When a person learns a Mishnah Brura, he feels this is pshuto shel mikra. That there's a certain agasha. This is the starting point. Lehavdol elef alfei avdolos. In the world of philosophy, Aristotle's idea feel. He was able to put the common sense together. There's no chidushim in that sense, except for the ability to take what's pashit and make a svara out of it, make a mahalach out of it, and so on. So that's why Aristotle appeals universally. In sense is what you're getting from him is the facts of the and the metzias of the bria and so on. There's another point about Aristotle that I think is important. Imagine a very, very frum mashgiach will be saying a musar shmuz, and he'll be talking about, and he'll say something, you know, you may not think that you think this, but down in your subconscious, this is happening. So someone's going to tell him, well, subconscious is before Freud, but akapanim, you know, a psychologist, we don't think of it that way. To us, this is a given, which it's our vocabulary. So we want to talk about things that are down in your mind, neshama, et cetera, that you're not thinking of right now, but it's there and it's pushing you. We speak of our subconscious. It's become a word that means that, and so on. A lot of the words in psychology, when I say he's got a complex, I'm not quoting somebody. I'm saying an inferiority complex. That's become whoever came up with that idea and that term, it tapped into something that he created a vocabulary. Aristotle created a vocabulary. So when I want to talk to you about a logical sentence and what is a statement that's true, what's a statement that's not true, I don't say Aristotle says this. I use that terminology as a milsa pshutasa. If this is says to this, then either this statement is true or that statement is true. Aristotle framed it. Aristotle was able to describe the phenomena. So the person who describes something in a way that has vocabulary, again, lahavdol elf alfei avdolos. Every time a Roshiva says Shekel Torah with Chefze and Gavra and Chalois and Maisa, he doesn't say Kidur Abchayim was Mechadish, that there's a din of a Chefze. Chefze and Gavra are a Metzias. Reb Chaim described the Metzias, and once he described it, Kilo was Megala, what's there. And the same thing with other terminology has become extremely accepted. The same thing Aristotle, he described a lot of things which are so milsa pshitasa. L'mashal, the Indian of not going to extremes. Aristotle is just, that's his shita and scribes and so forth. The Rambam took it because Rambam was saying, this that you understand to be true has another mahalach to it. But the understanding that when Aristotle describes a decent mahalach achayim, it's not a sheet of Aristotle. He's a discoverer, not an inventor. That's the difference. We look at what he did as discovering amitias that were laying the bria, not as bringing up ideas. And those type of ideas become such a metzias that we don't even say who said it. Like the word conscious, subconscious, like all the examples I gave before. So when people say, well, this he got from Aristotle, he got it from Aristotle, but these became such bread and butter, such he gave us, Aristotle gave us words and terms and definitions that are core words and definitions. And it's true about Goyish philosophy as well. I don't know who said, the Chacham Echad said that all the philosophy is Aristotle, everything else is a pirush on it. Once he gave certain havanis and tefisas, so just like, again, la'avlof avdolos, once Reb Chaim Brisker invented his derech, every shtickle turn in the world is yainik from his opening our eyes into the terminologies and ideas that exist within Torah. So it's not the pshat as he subscribed to his shita as much as his shita was Aristotle's godless was a description of a metzias around us at every level. Next, one more thing. A person will say, you know, mipsar echzalakai, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is like Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The world emulates a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A biologist will discover in Adam more and more things, And somebody who's a deep person will find more and more havanas and tefisas in everything that a biologist discovers. So if you take somebody who's a chacham gadol, and every time he hears a Ramesh Shapiro, every time he hears of something new that's discovered, he immediately has a tzustel that is really astounding. So it's not the pshat. He was mekabel the description of this world, and the meaning behind it didn't come from him. The Rambam did not find meaning in the world from Aristotle. He didn't. He said Aristotle has described accurately. So Lamashal, Aristotle says a person should do things with balance. That is a metzias, the way a psychologist will tell you. Psychologists will tell you an extraordinarily good psychologist will describe a derech hachayim that works. Once I have that description, that psychologist says, because that's the way it works, because that's the way man evolution made man. I say no. Evolution created man that way because. So the description is the psychologist's. The meaning is my meaning. That is the way the Rambam used Aristotle. And it's very important to understand it. He didn't look to Aristotle for truth with a capital T. He looked to Aristotle for truth with a little t. And therefore, it's a very different picture. There was no Torah Umada. He wasn't equating the two. He just felt that when you can understand the world the way it is and be able to express Torah in that terminology and in that fleshing it out, then you've opened up a whole new world and so on. Those are some basic introductions that I think are very important. And let's see. Okay. B'shem Hashem Keil Oilam. I want to add one more point to this. The Rambam is considered by the Mulumadim as being one of them, a real academic, a rationalist, v'chulo. It's true that the Rambam very much needs things to have a sechadik mahalach. And everything like that is structured by him. He understands Torah very, very, everything is structured. There's no stam things. Everything is tied to everything, so on and so forth. But the Rambam was full of passion. The Rambam breathed fire. And you will see it when it's Marna Buchim. There are many other Sfarim that have discussions, and they're very, very dry, lifeless, maybe meticulous, but lifeless. And droning on and on with dry formulas, no excitement. The Rambam starts to say, B'Shem Hashem Keil Oilam. Aleichem Ishim Ekrei starts me sefer. The Rambam, and he breathes it in every single passage of it, Amar Nevuchim, it's Eina Doimed, this sefer, to other so-called philosophical sfarim. The Rambam was an Amkin, an extraordinary Amkin, but there was always fire. There was no dry, and you'll see it as we go along, Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, HaTalmud HaChosher Reb Yosef Shin Tzadik Reb Yehuda, Nishmas Eden. Hinei. So the Rambam writes a letter as an introduction to it. Whether or not, I mean, we'll assume it is a Talmud. Some taina that it's just written that way. But the fact that the Rambam sees it fit to put it together is that he's writing, this letter is an explanation about what he's writing and how he's writing. Hine, me'oz boselai, from when you came to me, v'kivanta miktsois ha'aretz likros lefonai, and you moved from the ends of the world to come and learn with me, likros lefonai, to read before me, to be before me. Godlam in old English, I read with this professor is you know when you're studying with somebody. Godlam alos habeinai, I've come to appreciate you tremendously. Leroyv zirsuscha aladrisha, because I see how eager you are to learn and understand. And in the songs that you wrote to me, you expressed the tremendous tshuka for learning deep things, for understanding. And I got your letters from wherever you were staying. He said to Alexandria, Koidem Shefan Sirecha, before I had a chance to see or to hear from you any real fleshed out nekudas, you just sent me a lot of expression of tshuka to learn. Vayisa Oime, and I said, Ulai tshukosik dole masigosoi. I feel that his tshuka to learn is real, but maybe it's more than he's capable of. You know, the people who really would like to be big time chacham, but tachlis, not terribly big time chachamim. Dikasha karasa imi mashe krosim chachmas atchuna. When you started telling me over what it is that you learned from sciences, tchuna is usually translated some sort of mechanics or whatever it is. So he said, I was, or astronomy. So he said, I was umashe kodam l'cha mimashe efshima adav atzola minachachmas alimudias. And you also told me what you had learned as prerequisites for this chachma. So chachmas atchuna would be astronomy. Tochen is astronomy in old language, but this is you also learned the math that you needed for it. Hoisaftich b'chasimcha, I became more enamored with you. L'tuv sichlach amirsecha, how well you understand and how quick you chap. V'reisi chukoscha l'chachmas admiris atzuma, I saw that you really want to learn chachmas. V'nachticha l'islamit behem, and I let you study with me. L'das machrisecha, what's going to, you know, and I waited to see what's going to happen with you. He said, v'kasha karasa imi masha karasa lechse igoyen, and when we learned logic together, nikshra sechalti b'cha, I really had a lot of hopes for you, or isicha roi lecha legalis chosei de sefer nevua, and I felt I can now reveal to you the sodos that are in the Neviim. Ache tashgim emashet zosh ashkifol av ashleimim, so that you will understand what people who are anoshim shleimim in Seichon Das, v'cheloi silir mazachaber mizis. And I began giving you little bits and pieces, again to give you hints about what's further. Resicha mevakesh menet esef esbir, I saw that you wanted more explanations, and you asked me to please explain to you all sorts of inyanim elokim, of all sorts of theological things. And I should tell you exactly what is meant by the philosophers who engage in it. What they have in mind, and if it's logical, and I saw that you already had learned some of the other philosophers' studies, that you had learned it from someone else, and you're confused. For the fakuscha behola, you've been very confused. Va'nafshcha chashuva tevakesh mimcha, and your nefesh demands of you limtzad ibechefitz to try and to get something down that it can understand, that it can live with. V'loisarti litchoyscha mizeh, u'letzavoyscha lakachas advarim ala seder. And I kept pushing you off and telling you that I want you to do it structured. and to learn it sidra, not a piece here, a piece there. What I wanted is that you should be able to know the emes, not in a mikritic way, but in a fundamental way. I wanted you to be able to see things like how it works, what it is, not this is pshat here, this is pshat there, this is pshat in the other place. But I didn't refrain, as long as you're with me, that when there was a pasik or something from Chachamim, that there was what to say about, I said it. So he said, basically, he did not teach it in a structured way. He gave him bits and pieces, but he urged him to learn it in a structured way. Because shegozer Hashem befreida upanisa shapanisa, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer that we separate. It's a very interesting turn of phrase, very famous turn of phrase of Rama. Because shegozer Hashem befreida, and you left. Hey, runia chibur meim laskoma kvar shakata. That awakened in me a decision which had sort of I'd pushed aside, but now it really brought it back to the forefront. And you're leaving me was ma'ir me to make this to that I was mechaba for you and people like you. Even if the few, the samtiv prokim faradim, I made them separate prokim. The kolmashi chashev mikasimenu, v'yachar rishon mashatia. You'll get them step by step. You'll get them each one as they come. V'atashali. So this is the Rambam's letter to it, he's making the schibur for somebody of that caliber, and. He will start a little bit the psicha. So the Rambam, I think, adds this letter as to the final version of it for a reason. He's trying to explain: is this right to teach the people? What are the type of people that should be learning it? And so on and so forth. Okay, psicha. So again, the Rambam starts with three psukim. And you can feel the power. Teach me the road I should go. Because my neshama longs for you. Okay. So Hamayma Zeh is going on the first chelek, I believe. I'm not sure if the Maimer means the entire Maimer or the first part. It's divided into three parts, but whatever it is, this is true no matter what. In Yonah Rishon, the first Chelek is there, Levaya in Yonah Shemus, Bo B'Sifrei Nevuah, to define certain words, certain nouns that are included in Nevuah. In other words, he's going to explain as soon that the Navi is full of terms that seem to imply that Kach Baruch Hashem has a goof of some sort and so on, and that can't be, and it's very confusing, and so on. So he says, so the first, and it is the first, the umpteenth prokim of the Rambam, is different words that he defines the different meanings of it and how it's used in the pasuk. So he says, "Me'ashemus ahem, shemus mishtatfim." Sometimes you have a name that means two separate things, and they just happen to be the same word meaning two separate things. So he says, So I can speak about or. Or means light. Or means enlightening somebody in the way we use it that way. Ruach can mean a wind. Ruach could mean a spirit. It's just the same word. It's a homonym. Same word means two. It's two words that sound alike. They have the same syllables, same letters, but don't mean the same thing at all. And therefore, so when they say about ruach alekim, they talk about a wind of some sort. When you're breathing, there's the ruach is that you're breathing in and out. Mehem mushalim. Some of those words are metaphors that are borrowed. L'mashal, when I say, I think our business is going to branch out, it doesn't mean that they're going to grow out of the main building, they're going to grow extensions. It's a metaphor. We take the tree with branches and we say, in a certain sense, the company with all of its offices is like a tree with branches. So I speak about a branch. It's the same word, but it's borrowed for something that's similar conceptually, but not physically. So you're using it in the same sense as the first one, but it's not at all the same. And sometimes you have words that might mean, you know, it's not clear which one it means. So for instance, the word chai, he says over here, could mean living beings or could mean someone who is living. It's not clear in what sense it's being used in a particular instance. I don't mean to explain it to the Hamon Am all this. So he says the people that are excluded from this are people who are the Hamon Am, people who haven't fully developed in Iyun, or people who only are in Chachmas HaTorah, which is named Talmuda. Ki inyan ha-mayma ze kula kol ma shumimino hu Chachmas HaTorah le-emes. So he says everything over here that I'm going to say is part of Torah, but al kavonas ha-mayma ze lehoir ish baldas. It's somebody who is very strongly believes in the emes of Torah, and he is 100% erlich, and his midas are where they should be. And he has studied philosophy and understood it. And his seichel has adopted philosophical thought, logical thought, as his thought process. And he's been bothered by pshat. In other words, to say Hashem has a hand or a foot or a nose is incredible. It's impossible. And he's confused and upset. So should he just stick with his seichel and just throw away, deny the Torah? And then he feels, I have cast away chelka Torah, I've denied chelka Torah. Oy, she yishar mashe vino mehem. Or remain with how he understands it, not use the seichel at all. And he's going to feel that there's something wrong with his Torah. So he's going to remain with ideas that he really feels very uncomfortable with, that malachim have real wings and they flap their wings and they dance around and so on. And he will be very distraught and very, very, have a lot of anxiety from it. So basically, he said, if a person is living in a world where he doesn't need to be miyashivit, so there's no need. And he got certain elements, of course, he says everybody has to believe, and he'll say it in the Sefer, that if a person thinks that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has wings or hands or feet, he's not pekiris. And even if the person is a nobody and he's a hamoinam, he still needs to be told that this is absolutely unacceptable. But generally speaking, in the bigger picture, a person there's no need to reinterpret things if there's no kasha. But a person, and so I want to explain the point that is of reference. It's not the pshat, I have to reconcile Aristotle with Yeshaya Novi was contemporary, Rabbeinu HaKadosh or something like that. That's not it. It's just that, like I said before, somebody who is a Baal Seichel has a certain sense of what's logical, what's illogical, etc. And we're not talking about a malach is illogical, because how could something not be physical? Well, that's silly. Not to believe in Shadim because you're a rationalist is a silly statement, because malach is not rational, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not rational. If rational means something that I physically can relate to, then none of it is rational. What are we talking about? What he means is, in the Kolole Asechel Vadas, he specifically is talking about, it doesn't, to speak about Vayeshev Hashem or Erdonah, any of that term, it doesn't make sense. So if it doesn't bother you, yeah, Hashem came down, that's that, okay. But somebody who is a Baal Seichel, that statement should bother him. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defined as being everywhere, then he can't be in one place. That is a logical contradiction, and what you're saying doesn't make any sense. That's the type of issue that he's trying to talk about and so on. So it's not Chas V'Shalom philosophy is that. It's just that they gave us certain sichlius and so on and so forth, and they helped us formulate questions, answers, etc. I want to add one more thing. The people who oppose the Rambam and the Rashba, who tried to make Shalom, the Rush, there was Abba Murray. I want to refer to that specifically. The matziv of Jewry in France / Germany was good in Ruchnius. They were Erlich Yidden, they learned, they were Eshamayims, they produced very few works of philosophy, of anything like that. They produced tons of work of halacha, and they were Erlich Yidden, and they were Moise Nefesh, and the Crusades, and all the other things, until they were thrown out of France, and Germany became just very too difficult, and so on. The so-called golden age of Jewry in Spain was a Ruchnistik churban. Most Jews were heavily acculturated. Most Jews, the learning and halacha and ki mitzvahs was on a low flame. The Rush, when he came there, he writes, at first, I didn't want to get involved in machlokes. I thought that. As I saw people that I thought were fine people, good people, I recognized the amaratzis and the lack of the fidelity to keeping mitzvahs and the zilzal mitzvahs. I realized that it's not good. They started learning philosophy, and the main point was that they began to take Torah with more and more of a grain of salt. It doesn't mean, it's not chazah we're talking about. It's unrefined eating. We're not talking about tefillah and tzitzis. We're talking about keeping Hashem in your heart and your minds. and so on and on and on. It was making all of Torah an allegorization of Torah. And they interpreted Adam and Chava and Sarah and Avram and all these people in Tanakh, they weren't real people. They referred to core values. They referred to yin and yang. They referred to giver and taker. They referred to aggressive and passive. That's the modern language I'm throwing out. But they had their language. It's chayim and tzura. It's this and that, and b'meila, everything went down the drain. It was not passionate at all. I mean, it was a churban. And yes, the Rambam could make a road of shleimus. I don't think anyone else for a tzibur to integrate the two does not produce a good tzibur. People point to, I'm going to go off the top of that. People point to Shamshul Hirsch. Mechilas Kodem HaGadol, what Shamshul Hirsch showed was that you can take people that are gone and make them different people. He didn't add Mada to Torah, he added Torah to Mada. And it stalled. At some point, it just stopped, and that's what it was. The people in Germany who became more frum tended to move towards the East European version of it. Was Shamshul Hirsch himself a paradigm? Yes. Shamshul Hirsch was a person who was at home with much chachma, languages, especially he was a remarkable person. Was it a derech for rabbim? Very hard put to say so. Germany did not produce great rabbanim, did not produce great dolim, and it's the other way around. He didn't start with Yoreim and Shleimim and taught them Greek and Latin philosophy. He started people learning Greek, Latin philosophy, and taught them Chumash and so on. The same thing with the Rambam. The Rambam was one, and he's writing this to one Talmud. Could this be emulated for Tzibur? I don't think so. It's very hard to be able to have that walking on a tightrope and see, you know, and Yiras Elikim and yet understanding the Seichel. Rambam was a Yachid B'Doiris, and that's that we have from him. And you know, there are quite a few things that are important, that are good to learn. That's why I think it's important to learn it. But Akapan, just understand the context of the opposition to Rambam and the whole picture of it. Okay, it's a bit late. Any quick questions or anything?
Is Rebbe saying that learning something like Maran Avuchim is only for Shas Hadchak, for people,
it's
not really the Etzim for the Tzibur, but people who are made of the Derech should...
The honest truth is, as if in terms of people off the Derech, I think Maran Avuchim will do absolutely nothing for anybody off the Derech. The main reason being, the language that he uses, the ideas that he uses, the arguments that he uses are not current. Some of this philosophical, really heavy philosophical stuff, it just doesn't talk to us anymore. And the questions that really bother people are different. It's a hush of a safe because the Rambam's a safer. And since we made a Baruch Hashem, we finished almost everything else he wrote in Agadita, I had a big Eitzahara to do this as well. It's an extraordinary sefer. There are things there are stand in the world zone. But as a sefer to direct those on Nevuchim, and he writes it, the Nevuch he's talking to is somebody who's both a big Talmud Chacham, a real Mevakish Emes. it's not for somebody who's off the derech. You know, it's a sefer chashuv. That's all. It's a giant of a sefer. That's I guess why I'm so tempted to learn it. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
One question. The Rambam says later on in this introduction.
Who is this talking?
Hi, my name is Jasper. I'm a first time listener to you, Rabbi. Jasper Frosta. The Rambam says later on in the Hagdama that he forbids the reader from repeating anything in his name that Rambam hasn't said the name of Chazal. Is that still binding on a reader today?
I don't know. In other words, basically, he didn't want his works to be divorced from what he's doing is being masbeh. He's not being mechadish. He's being masbeh. I don't, you know, I don't think that that's, you know, that's binding. You could say Ram says it is. That's why we quote it. He says it there, and people say it. And also, there's such a variety of inyanim there. It's hard to pinpoint which are those that he means and which those are, you know, are dvarim that are yisari emuna, ikri emuna. There's much. That's one of the reasons why I was so tempted to learn it. Because there's a lot here that is yisaidistik inyanim that ishtals avek only the way he could. I've never heard anyone be misachas to that thing.
Thank you.
Okay, beseda guten kalte, bye.